Rockets forward Kevin Durant has already been ruled out of Game 6 against the Lakers. Amazon and Duke University have reached an agreement where three high-profile men's basketball games will air exclusively on Prime Video next season. Duke will face UConn in Las Vegas on Wednesday, November 25th, Michigan on December 21st at Madison Square Garden, and Gonzaga on February 20th at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit. Former NBA All-Star John Wall, now the president of basketball operations at Howard University. The Eagles signed first-round pick wide receiver Mekhi Lemon to a four-year, fully guaranteed deal. It's worth $11.5 million. Calais Campbell inks a one-year deal with the Ravens. Final for baseball, Reds just topped the Rockies by a count of 6-4.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your Agribusiness Update. Well, the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program is delivering billions in aid to row crop producers as farmers grapple with a worsening agricultural economy. Nearly $9.6 billion has been distributed, with corn and soybean growers receiving the largest share. Corn accounts for about 42% of total disbursements at $3.45 billion, followed by soybeans at $2.27 billion. Wheat, cotton, and rice round out the top five, while other crops received hundreds of millions collectively. Well, the United States continues to be the third largest supplier of agricultural products to Australia. In 2025, the U.S. had a 9% market share of Australia's ag imports, totaling $1.7 billion. Australia ranked as the 18th largest U.S. agricultural export market. Consumer preferences have recently shifted toward health and convenience. Products with the strongest growth potential in Australia include dairy, pork, beef, distilled spirits, confectionery products, bakery goods, and pet food. Well, the president of the National Corn Growers Association is criticizing several major energy companies for opposing legislation that would allow year-round sales of E15 fuel, gas blended with 15% ethanol. NCGA President Jed Bauer argues the delay keeps fuel prices higher, noting E15 saves consumers money at the pump. The proposal, supported by most of the petroleum industry, would update parts of the renewable fuel standard, including small refinery exemptions.
Get ready to bid on the equipment you need in the Ritchie Brothers Unreserved California Regional Auction happening May 5th. Inventory is housed at Ritchie Brothers Los Angeles, Sacramento, and Tulare locations with in-person inspections available. Choose from agriculture equipment, earth-moving equipment, compact construction equipment, and heavy transportation. Don't miss this great opportunity. Visit rbauction.com/Los Angeles to sign up. That's rbauction.com/Los Angeles.
Today, we're talking with aphids and whiteflies about Safina insecticide from BASF.
We just got nailed with it.
So tell us, how you feeling?
Really, really weird.
And you still want to devour this field?
No way, bro.
There you have it, folks. Safina insecticide is specifically engineered to disorient aphids and whiteflies so they can't eat. And when they can't eat, they can't destroy.
Help protect your alfalfa from aphids with Safina insecticide. Always read and follow label directions.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are higher in afternoon trading, with the Dow up sharply as investors assessed a fresh batch of key economic data and a strong crop of earnings reports, particularly big tech results that fueled optimism about the AI demand boom. After the closing bell on Wednesday, Microsoft, Alphabet, Meta, and Amazon all reported robust earnings, partly due to the addition of their AI ambitions. Most all of the 11 S&P 500 sectors are in the green, and shares of drug maker Eli Eli Lilly are jumping 6% after reporting upbeat first quarter results. Its revenue spiked 56%, fueled by growth for the company's GLP-1 drugs, Mounjaro and Zepbound. And MasterCard reported first quarter earnings and revenue that exceeded analyst estimates and boosted its 2026 revenue growth outlook, and its stock is falling nearly 4%. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Should baseball players be the only ones judged on their batting average? I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
We're being treated to a barrage of column and commentary ridiculing those who urge aid to South Vietnam because failure to support an ally would have a domino effect on other allies elsewhere. James Reston of the New York Times, a week before Easter, discounted the domino theory as having no validity. He says that two small Asian nations can have no bearing on the real international problems confronting us. He says the domino theory is almost as obsolete as the game of dominoes itself. Strange that so many members of the press who insist that every statement ever made by an office holder be brought forth whenever they think he's guilty of inconsistency have never thought of making the record public where their own pontifications are concerned. These men and women write with presumed authority on any and all subjects and influence public thinking to a great degree. But would their influence be so great if, like ballplayers, their updated batting averages were published with their columns and editorials? Those familiar voices we hear telling us after a presidential address what it was we really heard. Those who told us Castro was no communist, Ho Chi Minh was another George Washington, and Mao Zedong and the Red Chinese were just agrarian reformers, never remind us of how often their pronouncements were wrong. For example, a few years ago, President Nixon made the hard decision to mine Haiphong Harbor and stop the flow of ammunition from Russia to the North Vietnamese. He made it on the very eve of the summit meeting in Moscow. All arrangements had been made for the trip, and most of the better-known news analysts who had accompanied him to Peking were all packed for the trip to Russia. His announcement of the action he planned against an enemy who'd been killing American fighting men for several years stunned these analysts and brought from them a flood of criticism. Eric Severide, "I would suspect that the summit will not come off." That was the mildest, although it was delivered with an arched eyebrow. Charles Collingwood, "Certainly the Moscow summit meeting from which so much had been expected is now in jeopardy." Marvin Kalb, "One casualty of the president's mining and blockade may well be his upcoming summit to Moscow. Those who began packing and dreaming of caviar are beginning to unpack and are returning to dry cereal." Well, that was cuter than the bare announcements of John Chancellor, "The summit is in jeopardy today." Then there was Richard Valeriani's shocked question, "How can they receive him now?" Well, Ted Koppel answered him, "I don't see how he can go." Edward Stevens said, "The president's announcement will be pretty hard for them to swallow. It practically killed the prospects of a summit." So spoke the great modern-day pundits, most of whom then dutifully accompanied the president to Moscow a few days later to report on the very successful summit, which all agreed did much to lessen world tensions. To my knowledge, none has ever acknowledged the president had been right and they were wrong. Nor have they given credit to the mining and the bombing of Hanoi for finally bringing an end to our participation in the war and the freeing of our prisoners. Ironically, the Russians were so afraid the president wouldn't come that Henry Kissinger, at their invitation, was already in Moscow to calm their fears and assure them he would really be there. Tomorrow I'll get back to the domino theory and whether it's real or imaginary. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I am your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. What is this? I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And today, I have Dan Blackburn on the show. For those that do not know, Dan Blackburn co-founded Cal Coast News with me. We actually started putting it together back in around 2007. We opened in January of 2008. And Dan and I worked together for a very long time. He is now retired. And Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Karen. Appreciate having me on. You say I'm retired. I'm actually tired. There's a difference. I'm doing a lot more now than... that I did when I was working for money. But anyway, interesting life, interesting times, and interested in talking to you today.
And the reason I called Dan on is, as many of you know, about a year ago, there was a lawsuit filed against myself regarding an article in Cal Coast News. And it was filed by the partner, wife of John Belcher. And it was about one, it was an article about John Belcher when they were trying to collect a judgment. And it was about one sentence in the article that resulted in a lawsuit. So what we did is we filed a slap motion, an anti-slap motion, and the judge put out a couple different tentatives. And a tentative means it is a judge ruling on a motion or a ruling on a case or a motion and how she plans on ruling. There were two tentatives put out on this. They were both very positive to Cal Coast News. We were in a hearing yesterday on the anti-slap motion, and the judge took it under submission, which is fairly common when it is going to be something that... disposes of the lawsuit. Dan, can you explain to them a little bit about what happened yesterday and what is going on?
Well, yeah, let's explain what a slap motion is, essentially. It stands for Selective Litigation Against Public Participation. It's a law that exists in, at the present time, 40 different states in somewhat different forms. But the purpose of it is to give equal balance in the courts to litigants, to people who are either being sued or suing, And for example, you might be someone who notices that oil is seeping up in your yard and you want to sue, and you find out that it's a large oil company. And so you make a fuss about it, you decide to go to court, and you find out that you're dealing with lawyers who, you know, make millions of dollars a year sitting across the bench from you, and maybe your neighbor who's an attorney, you don't have a chance in court. Flat motion is basically designed to prevent that type of a situation to where your, you might call activist in a court, has the same opportunity to prove a case as a corporation might with a battery of attorneys. So it's invoked whenever there is a lawsuit or some type of litigation filed that either is or appears to be without merit, and it gives, in many cases, a good reporter an opportunity to evade an expensive lawsuit because it has, on the surface and basically a little deeper, no merit. And that's what happened in this case. If I might rattle on for a moment or two.
Absolutely.
This particular lawsuit, quite frankly, is one of many that Karen has endured over the 18 years Calcos News has existed. The reason for that is very simple, and I said to Karen earlier, I think I might mention this, and I'm not a conspiracy enthusiast. However, I am a person who's been a news reporter for most of my professional career, and I do know the actual legal meaning of a conspiracy. And I do know that that's the type of thing that's been occurring in San Luis Obispo County ever since Calcos News had the temerity to appear on the scene. I might recall briefly the response of one of the supervisors at the time who sent us a note. It was one of the first emails we ever got, I think, and it said, sure hope you'll be printing only the good news. And probably should have been an indication of what was to come. There was not a good reception to the fact that Calcos News was reporting real news, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And some of those stories, some may recall, you know, got us in some scraps, as those types of stories do. We discuss the conduct of a lot of public officials and the conduct of some private individuals who were exploiting people's money. Anyway, all of that has led to a circumstance now where Karen's Calcos News draws the most daily readers of any entity in the county. And that puts Calcos News at a decided advantage when it comes to looking at a limited media market such as exists in Slo County. So for a number of years, Calcos News has been looked at as an impediment to the planning of a number of folks in the county who would like to establish, you know, a new media, I don't want to call it an empire, but a new media entity covering some radio and some TV and some print. And since the Tribune isn't really worth anything other than as a pretty shell, perhaps, it's not a threat to any real planning of that sort. In fact, it would probably be absorbed into such an entity. But anyway, bottom line is Karen's operation is viewed as a huge impediment to some very, very ambitious and powerful people in the county. And when you see stories on Calcos News involving election money manipulation on the one hand, and this slap motion granting as a tentative by the judge as another, it's another continuing set of activities designed to put Karen's operation under. It hasn't worked, and it won't work. And I haven't been involved with it for a long time. She knows that. We talk not constantly. We can't talk frequently, so I'm still involved in many ways. And I'm very proud of her for keeping this thing alive. It's almost as though she's headfirst in a hurricane for the entire 18 years. But anyway, that's where we are at the moment. I'll stop talking.
And I do want to say the anti-SLAPP laws were primarily started for journalists and activists who are trying to be shut down for their speech by wealthy businesses that wanted to crush them to keep them quiet. And the one great thing about anti-SLAPP laws is they require in California that they pay for the cost of the suit. So the very first case that someone tried to go after us was Adam Hill's girlfriend, Dee Torres, later his wife. And we had been writing stories about issues with the homeless center in SLO. And she had sued a PI that was helping us with the case, Mike Brendler. There was a slap motion filed. Dee Torres had just put, I can't remember, $30,000 or $50,000 down on a house. And she had to pull the money back out, lose part of her down payment to pay Mike Brendler the money it cost him to hire Stu Jenkins to win the case, and it was thrown out with a slap motion. Then we had another case that was against Dan and I, and there was, let's just say, we didn't do well in that case. I sued for fraud on the court because they had perjured themselves. They said one statement in their declarations, another one under depositions, and another statement in trial. But my attorney said, oh, you don't need a court reporter. You absolutely need a court reporter because you can't appeal without one. And we didn't have one the entire time. So instead, I filed a fraud on the court based on the perjury in the case. We lost the case, but then we settled. My attorneys had to pay some money because they had not pointed out the perjury. I filed a suit against the guy that sued me for fraud on the court and a suit against my attorneys for not pointing out the perjury in the case and doing a good job in the case. My attorneys had to pay some money, their insurance firm. I think some of that did go to the guy that sued me. I did not put out any personal money. We did do a settlement. There was an agreement in the settlement. But again, I would never go without a court reporter. And we have very good insurance now. And because of the insurance we have, we are able to get good attorneys and to fight this. So like we have done before, this time I hired a very good attorney. They filed a slap motion, and there were a lot of arguments. This was about, we've done a series of stories on attorney John Belcher, real estate broker John Belcher, developer John Belcher. There was a lawsuit against him and his wife and his partner, Ryan Petetit. Her name was mentioned in the lawsuit, but none of the stories were about her. She was a defendant in the suit. In the end, they decided she didn't have to pay the money. Her husband did. And she was mentioned in an article that was about, they were trying to find them. They had hired PIs to find them. There were some allegations of different names being used. We wrote a story about why they were trying to serve them. And there was one sentence in there that mentioned his partner. She filed a lawsuit with him as the attorney. And we filed a slap motion. It took a very long time to get heard where it's supposed to be done very quickly. It tried to go down some rabbit holes. But in the end, the slap motion, and again, this isn't over. The judge could completely change your mind. But the tentative was primarily very favorable to Cal Coast News, and that this was a lawsuit that can be dismissed as with the slap motion, and that she was planning on ruling for us. Can you explain a little bit about what was in the tentative judgment?
Well, yeah, it was very interesting, and we might point out it's a judge can, as they said, make any changes he or she wants to in one of these. Generally, a lawyer will say 98% it's a finished product, but you never know. So we understand that. This is a Judge Tana Coates. She made some very interesting observations, and she observed that this particular statute that she was working with, it enables defendants to quickly terminate meritless actions. And then further on, which is really interesting, which is kind of, wasn't at the end of her tentative, she says that the court finds Veely has shown the complaint is subject to the anti-SLAPP statute. Bernat, that's the person, one of the people involved in the discussion, has not shown a probability of success on the merits, period. So, it was a very positive tentative because it addresses those who filed the lawsuit against Karen, but it also is a huge message for a lot of very interesting and powerful people in that county.
And again, it's not an option. In SLAPP motions, anti-SLAPP motions, like we filed in California, they are the judge has to award court costs and attorney fees. It's mandatory. And in the case of Brendler, it was significant. Again, DeTorres had to back out of purchasing a house. And I can imagine this one's going to be, you know, over $30,000.
You know, these people might, when I say these people, it's this crowd that I'm discussing, you know, think twice about putting actual formal lawsuits against you in the future. You know, threats kind of bounce around, they bounce off you. You don't think too much of those. I mean, threats of litigation generally. But lawsuits, you know, everybody knows they can be pesky and they can be expensive and they kind of hang around and there's always a risk that it can have a bad result. But again, if people begin to realize that it's they who will be shelling out the money at the end of the process, they might be a little more thoughtful about filing these kinds of lawsuits.
And the other thing is, reporters can have something inaccurate in a story. And I did have, this was about a name change. It was not knowing of a name change. There were some arguments. There was never using two names. My attorney during the arguments in the court wanted to make sure one document was added back to the case because it's a court document in which the person was using two different names in the court document on three different occasions. And if the argument is I don't use two different names, the number one thing in media is the truth. And again, you can have something wrong that you didn't know. For example, let's say you're married to John and we write a story and say you're married to John, but a week or earlier, your divorce was granted and you married someone else and that no one knew about it. Generally, that is something you can just correct. It doesn't have a material impact on the story. It doesn't have a material impact on what the story is about. The article was about an attempt to collect money from John Belcher after he lost a civil judgment to the Chases of $3.6 million with allegations of fraud against a former client. And the judge did come out.
Karen, this started with your reporting on an incident. Simply reporting on the fact that these people were in litigation and this was what's happening at the moment. I mean, simple reporting case led to eventually you being sued. So, the process is pretty clear. Go forward, Kenna.
And it used to be easier. There used to be this rule if you're writing, and an attorney had sent me a document he was filing. And the attorney sent me a document that was filed the next day with the court. So mine came out a few hours earlier because I thought it was filed. It was filed later. But once something's in the court record, you can always write about it. You can't sue somebody over something's in the court record. And yes, the man hadn't actually filed it, or maybe didn't file it correctly. I wrote about it and then realized it was filed later.
Yeah. And again, I'm reminded of something Bill Loving said at one point about all of these issues. He said, you know, case law basically doesn't require publishers, I'll get this right, to turn over every rock, look into every dusty filing cabinet, or peer into any crystal balls before reporting the news.
Absolutely. And we're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with Dan Blackburn.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty. That's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 0219910.
My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. I now have the co-founder of Cal Coast News on the show with me today, Dan Blackburn. And Dan, on this, I want to remind people who John Belcher is. You and I covered John Belcher together in the beginning, and over time, it's absolutely grown. Can you remind people what the issues were and what happened?
Oh, boy,
Or do you want me to start that part?
I can reach back into my dusty memory. Go ahead and get me started. I remember it all had to do with his operations with a partner of his in some of their real estate dealings, which were going south.
We had a consultant call us and tell us, I didn't even know who John Belcher was. I knew he was an attorney, but I knew very little about him. And that John Belcher and Ryan Pettit were allegedly cheating people through a number of ways, including investors and contractors. And this person was a contractor they owed a ton of money to. And he told me there was also a builder out of Los Osos who was losing his business, had young children at home, ruining this man's life by not paying him. And I did some looking into it, did a lot of looking into it, and then we have a dumpster diver. We had him go through the trash and bring everything from their trash so we could figure out what they were up to. And in the trash, it talked about pain. Supervisor Adam Hill talking about getting to promote this project, get this through. It was stunning to find that. And from there, we started putting out information. Others said it was no big deal. But then in the end, the FBI raided Adam Hill's office, raided the county building, raided Adam Hill's home, raided a cannabis delivery man's home, raided two mayor's homes. This was a big deal. And it did result. There's already been some indictments. There's still an ongoing case. And the federal records, to things filed in the last year, talk about John Belcher being the co-conspirator and allegations that he, that they manipulated evidence to, or doctored evidence to, they had a federal warrant for evidence. So John Belcher emailed something to John, to Ryan. Ryan changed it, emailed it back to John. John then gave it to their attorneys, and then they handed it over for a federal warrant. That's called obstructing justice. That's the accusations. He hasn't been arrested yet. Ryan already pled guilty to certain things. They were trying to get Ryan to roll on John. That's in the records. Ryan finally pled. He was sentenced, I think, 5 or 7 years. He's in prison currently, and the case says it's closed for Ryan only, and the other defendants are still under investigation. That's how this started. But we were also looking at the people that they, investors that claim they defrauded them out of their retirements.
Yeah, the sad thing about it is that their targets were usually, as one might eventually suspect, the more vulnerable. And of course, those are folks who very often pay attention to a lot of things we on a daily basis might not, and sensitive to that sort of stuff. Anyway, every so often I think, my observation after many, many years of life, is that these people eventually, the wrong people make the wrong turn, and it gets them, it bites them. You know, cops will tell you they probably wouldn't catch anybody if most thieves and crooks weren't stupid. So, in a way, a lot of this stuff is kind of normal, what we're seeing in the county. But there's a lot of it, and I might just get this shot in. There's a lot of corruption in the county, which is not uncommon for counties all over the country, but this one is rather unique. In that there's virtually little oversight, except Cal Coast News. In most communities, hopefully, a good, diligent daily newspaper would be all over a lot of the people that you have to report on. And those people wouldn't be operating as brazenly as they do at the present time, because they still think, naively, that Karen Vealey is an easy takedown. Well, 18 years of survival against the wind. You're still there, kiddo.
Oh, thank you. And they've gone after both of us. They went after our children. There has been some very, very nasty attacks on us.
This is not to say poor us. We're just saying we've been up against some bad people, and most of the time we didn't realize that they were that bad because, you know, where do you find these people? But anyway, so we were naive, but eventually caught on.
Yes, and then in this case, the thing about a slap motion, it's supposed to be handled in 60 days. And this one went down a rabbit hole. This one went down a number of people who had nothing to do with this case, who don't know me, have never met me, tried to get involved in the case, and not the case. They tried to get involved in our slap motion and blocking the slap motion. We're going to talk about that when we come back after our top of the hour break.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.